dance with me. I was dancing.
Yeah, I saw you dancing. That was exciting. Oh. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Dancing Wendy. Welcome to the show. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to reach us. Comments, questions, any of that. Every Friday, we talk to Alexander Zalbin. He is the managing editor over at Decider.com, a great website. If you like entertainment news, if you like TV news, go to Decider.com. Alexander, great to have you back. How are things?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited to be back. Thanks
Good.
For having me on
You're
again,
You're very,
Dad.
Very welcome. Here's a story that just broke moments ago, and it's shocking. Let's talk about what's going on over there with Les Moonves at CBS.
Yeah, so this is actually a story about a story. Ronan Farrow, who is mostly credited with breaking open a lot of the Harvey Weinstein stuff for The New Yorker, reportedly has a second story that is going to drop later today, again for The New Yorker, this time about sexual misconduct allegations involving the CBS chairman and CEO, Les Moonves, as you mentioned. Details aren't totally clear. CBS is not necessarily commenting since the article is not quite up on The New Yorker yet, but it seems like there might have been unwanted kissing, unwanted touching, both from 20 years ago and potentially a pattern that continued closer to today.
Julie Chen think of that? I've been watching her on Big Brother every night. She's been married to him for many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been married since 2004, I think. Just to mention, this is just facts. This is not a comment on anybody's character.
Right.
But Moonves got divorced from his previous wife and then married Julie Chen 2 weeks later. So I don't know. I don't know what she's going to think. I don't know how it's going to affect CBS. One of the bigger things that's going on, and this was kind of the call here in the office, our editor-in-chief Mark Graham immediately shot this out on our Slack. But they're in the middle of some litigation where Sherry Redstone wants to merge, again, CBS and Viacom, and Les Moonves is sort of stuck in the middle there. They're in the middle of some litigation. So potentially this is something that could really affect that deal as well.
Here's what's strange about this, Alex, and maybe you know more about it than I do, but anytime I've heard Les Moonves' name, it's always in a positive light. It's not one of those guys that people go, oh, I wonder about that guy. He seemed to be a fairly upstanding guy, and then this comes out.
I mean, listen, that's the thing with all of these things. I think you don't really know what goes on in people's heads, what goes on behind closed doors until we find out in The New Yorker or other papers or people come forward. I agree with you that front-facing, he certainly is a very genial guy. I've seen him speak in person a number of times, and he's always very charming and well-spoken and a good advocate for the CBS brand. But ultimately, he spends a lot of day in an office, and whether this is true or not, we don't know what went on there.
Wow.
This is going to sound bad, but he was accused of unwanted kissing and touching, and you had mentioned that it was from 20 years ago, but then up until fairly recently. In a weird way, if it was just the 20 years ago, I almost feel like, not that that's right, but that's what happened back then, and if his track record was clean, it wouldn't bother me so much, but the fact that it has continued is bothersome. And what is Ronan Farrow doing, being the guy who brings everybody down? I'm glad he's doing this, but it just, who made him the poster boy of doing this?
Well, I mean, technically he's not. There's a number of female reporters who work for the Times as well who helped really break open the Harvey Weinstein story, but he's gotten a lot of credit for it. The thing that happens is because he was able to responsibly tell people's stories, more people feel comfortable coming forward and talking to him is essentially the way that I see it working. The other thing that I'd say about the 20 years ago thing, I think I'm on the same table with you, but at the same time, because these things are so tricky, I would argue that if we may have found out about 20 years ago, but it doesn't mean that he's clean now and everything's been good. It just means nobody said anything after that, you know? So, again, these things are very tricky to talk about. I'm sure we'll know a lot more later today when the Farrow expose drops. I'm sure he has very much backed up his sources and information. And ultimately, if he has, this doesn't look very good for Les Moonves.
On the flip side of this, Wendy and I discussed this a little bit yesterday, but not with you, Alex. Chris Hardwick has been reinstated on Talking Dead, correct?
That is correct. According to AMC, there was a comprehensive assessment of Chris Hardwick. They found no wrongdoing in this case and returned him to work. You're still going to see Yvette Nicole Brown, who was subbing in for him. For a little while, she's going to be on. There's a Walking Dead reunion season 9 preview special that I think is going up August 5th. So she'll be hosting that. She's going to be a guest on Talking Dead when that returns for the premiere of Fear of the Walking Dead. But Chris Hardwick is back as the host for both Talking Dead and Talking with Chris Hardwick as of end of August.
In your opinion, does he address this on air, or does he just go on without addressing it?
Whew, that is a tricky one.
Question.
Yeah, I mean, I think it honestly has a lot to do with whatever legal recommendations that A, AMC has, and B, the consulting firm that they called in, I believe it's Loeb and Loeb, to talk about the case. They may specifically urge him not to talk about it all. Personally, I think it would be an oversight if he did not address it in any way. It certainly sets up a very weird hour of television either way, but it would be unfortunate if he doesn't address it.
I don't know him at all, and when these allegations came out, I was thinking, there's no way this happened. They were in a relationship together. I will not name names, but there are some people we speak to on the air on a regular basis who kind of seem to side with his...
Chloe Dykstra.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people I know seem to say that too. Like, I've heard things about Chris Hardwick and I side with her. But what does this mean for her accusations now? Were they not true? What happens with that?
I mean, listen, she actually put out a statement today responding to, it was either today or late yesterday, responding to Chris being cleared. And once again, she affirmed the reason she was doing this was not to get Chris Hardwick. It was to essentially, not to get too esoteric about it, but to clear her soul, to get this off of her chest so she could move on with her life. She never named his name in the initial statement, in the Medium post that she put out. It was pretty clear that it was Chris, but she never called him out. She never said, everybody go get Chris Hardwick or anything like that. This was about something that she went through that she wanted to express so that she could clear the deck. And again, she reaffirmed this in the second statement, thanked everybody for their kind messages, and said she's ready to move on with her life.
Alex, did you, I'm sorry, Wendy, did you by any chance get to see any of Roseanne Barr yesterday? She was on Sean Hannity's show.
She's losing her mind.
That's my fear. Did you see any of it, Alex? Were you able to watch any of this?
Not to be a terrible person. I don't know if it's losing so much as lost. She has gone so back and forth on the statement about Valerie Jarrett, given every possible excuse from being Jewish and having relatives who were in the Holocaust to some of my best friends are black.
So she didn't know she was black. That was an excuse
was
at some
crazy.
Point. It's like that scene in Animal House where John Belushi is making excuses. My dog ate it. He's just running off all these excuses. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the quote you mentioned, that there were several things that she said that were ridiculous / shocking, but she said, her skin tone is like mine and I'm brown. I didn't know she was African-American. Just a hot tip for anybody listening. Never say that out loud. Just don't say anything like that ever.
She should have just kept not talking. I think it would have been better. Mm-hmm. She's making it worse every time she opens up about this now, don't you think?
Absolutely. And listen, there's been a lot of flaps about what you can tweet and what you can't tweet. But ultimately, what everybody has pointed out, and I think correctly, about Roseanne is she didn't stop talking. She had some horrible tweets before they picked up Roseanne for the revival. Everybody knew that. But then she kept going. She couldn't stop herself from tweeting. She couldn't stop herself from talking. And ultimately, for better or for worse, that was the problem there.
Horrible. All right, we'll pick this up in just a little bit. More television talk with Alexander Zalbin from The Decider, decider.com.
Watching TV because we're talking TV.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's why. If you're going to talk about it, you should also watch it. We've got Alexander Zalbin on from The Decider, decider.com, a great, great website. The affair is coming to an end. Is that right, Alex? What do you know about this?
That is correct. We don't know a ton of information. It's currently running a season 4, and that ends about mid-August. But they decided to end the show on their own terms. They're going to do one more season after this, season 5, and then that's it for the show. We don't necessarily know how many episodes or what's going to be on at this point.
What is the show? I'm sorry, The Affair. I've never...
You've never heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big hit. It's been a big hit for
Who's
a while.
In it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's one of those shows.
Maura Tierney, is that her name?
Really love. Sorry?
Maura Tierney is the actress in it, right? Mm-hmm. From ER.
Yeah, Maura Tierney, Dominic West, Ruth Wilson, and Josh Jackson, a.k.a. Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're going to wrap it up after another season, which is very nice for the actors and very nice for fans of the show to have it end on its own terms, I think.
Over at HBO, they've got a hit on their hands with this Amy Adams show, Sharp Objects. Haven't seen it yet. Hear great things about it. People were hoping there'd be more, but it looks like maybe one season and out for this, huh?
Yeah. One of our great writer-editors, Megan O'Keefe, is actually currently out at the TCA, which is the Television Critics Association tour, where there's a ton of panels going on. So she has a lot of coverage going up about it. And one thing that happened was Casey Bloys, the head of HBO, in the very first panel came out and said, nope, no season 2 for Sharp Objects. You know, it's interesting when you look at that compared to, say, Big Little Lies. Both of them were based on books. Nobody really expected there to be a second season of Big Little Lies because there's no other books beyond that. But according to him, all of the actors on Big Little Lies were super into doing more. They really wanted to pursue it, so they ended up doing it. On the other hand, Sharp Objects is very dark. It's a really hard character for Amy Adams to play. The story is going to be done after one season, so no season 2 for the show.
This is a story that I read this morning, Alex, and I didn't clear it with you. I don't know if you're aware of it, but I'd love your comment on it. Meghan Markle, the new princess there in England, there's now been a ban on British television saying that her family, you know, she has an extended family with a half-brother and a half-sister.
A half-fiancé who beat up the half-brother.
Right. It gets a little crazy. They say that no member of Meghan Markle's family is allowed to appear on a British reality show. Did you hear this?
No, I haven't heard about that.
They say that it would be damaging to the reputation of the royals, so they've put out an edict saying, in America, if you want to do that, because I think her half-sister is up for some American reality show, but they say, as far as Great British television is concerned, they won't have it.
Good for them.
I mean, listen, that's okay. Not everybody needs to be on a reality show. And
right.
I think ultimately they're right. You know, that's something that Meghan Markle knew when she was getting into royalty, is that her entire life would change forever. And ultimately it is going to change her family's forever. And it's kind of nice that the other folks won't just profit off of it and drag, you know, potentially drag her name through the mud, as things often happen with reality shows. So I'm all for that.
I'm still watching Big Brother. I don't care about Julie Chen, Les Moonves, or anything.
You're watching like no matter what.
And I just have to say, please, if you like fun television, maybe a little violent, but I love Preacher. I love it. Love it.
That show is absolutely bananas insane, and it's only gotten crazier. I was talking with some folks the other day about the most recent episode, which pretty much opens up with about a 5 to 10 minute fight that takes place in one room. And honestly, they have some of the best staged fights on television. It's all mostly one take. The camera just kind of zips around the room as 4 different characters are fighting. It's funny. It's exciting. I love it.
And 3 words, Crazy Betty Buckley. I mean, I'm telling
Wait,
you.
Betty Buckley from 8 is Enough? Betty Buckley?
Yeah, she is Madame Langell, and she is a mean, mean old woman.
Wow.
She's really a great actress.
I didn't know she had that in her.
Yep.
That's excellent. All right, I'm watching for that. Do this story for me. Carlton Cuse was one of the guys who first created Lost, and I know he did some work with Netflix on a show called Lock and Key that I don't really know too much about, but there's been some news about it. What do we need to know there?
Yeah, so this is actually based on one of my favorite comic books of all time. It's written by Joe Hill, who's Stephen King's son. The art is by a fantastic artist named Gabriel Rodriguez. It's been bouncing around development for a really long time. There was initially going to be a series on Fox. They shot a pilot, which if you can track down is fantastic, but that never got picked up. Then they were going to do a series of movies. Those never got picked up. They shot another pilot for Hulu, which also didn't get picked up. And now, finally, after years, Netflix has officially picked it up with Carlton Cuse and Joe Hill working together as showrunners for the show. They're going to do 10 episodes, and it's going to be on at some point in the future. And the general pitch for it is there's a weird house up north. Has a bunch of magical keys that each do different things. A family moves into the house and battles a dark entity who wants possession of all the keys.
That sounds good.
It does.
It's fantastic. And a little bit of a spoiler. Full disclosure: I actually make a small appearance in the book as
really?
A character.
Really?
So So fingers crossed, I'm going to get cameo on the show.
Let's that's so exciting!
When are they going to have a Lost reunion? Because I would like a reboot of Lost. So then they can finish it properly.
You know, they've talked about that quite a bit, David
really?
Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. They've said they are done with it. They are completely done with Lost, but they expect, because it was such a popular property, it's only a matter of time until ABC or somebody else does their Lost reboot. But when they do, they're not involved.
Oh, interesting. All right. I'll keep our eyes open for that. Alex, great to talk to you. Thanks so much, and hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, as always, for having me on.
Thanks,
That's
Alex.
Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor over at Decider.com, a really good website. Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.